As a survivor of teenage cancer, Dr. Eric Watts took up a career in medicine and worked as a GP in Clapham and Canada before specialising in haematology. Eric became a consultant and later became a clinical director at Basildon Hospital. Now, back at the end of January, Dr. Eric joined me here to talk about a new initiative, the Brentwood Cancer Support and Survivorship Group, who are about to hold their first meeting. And Eric joins me again. Hello, Eric. Welcome. How are you?
Hello, Bob. We're well, thank you.
Jolly good. Glad to hear it. You're looking fit and well, yes. So, first of all, could you remind us just quickly of the aims of the Brentwood Cancer Support and Survivorship Group and tell us how your meeting went?
Right. The aims are to make sure that anyone who has, anyone who has been affected by cancer, so that includes patients themselves and relatives, as relatives often have a huge burden. Excuse me, I'll take a swig of water.
Sure, certainly. No problem at all. I'm always fighting the frog in the throat myself. Yeah.
So we find that patients themselves, after all, no one expects to have cancer unless you're a pretty unusual person. Most people expect the good things in life, and something like cancer comes along out of the blue, yeah, and it knocks you back.
Of course.
There's very little doubt about that. Very few people plan for this sort of thing. So all of a sudden they find themselves having to completely change their plans for the future. For most people, the initial weeks and then months are dominated by treatment for the illness. Some people, treatment goes on for a longer period of time, and then some people fortunately get back to normal, but by no means does everybody. And some people find the whole business of the worry and the uncertainty about what may happen next very, very difficult. And we have found that groups can be very, very helpful in this respect. Mm. Just this morning, I got an email from my old friends up in Manchester who run the National Cancer Conference for Support Groups, that they're celebrating their 30th anniversary. Mm. I've been to about 20 of their annual meetings, and I found it enormously helpful to meet with other people, find out what has helped them. The whole business of caring and sharing, learning from each other is a marvelously positive experience. Yeah. And so I'm very, very keen that people in Brentwood should be able to have that opportunity as well. So the first meeting, we're able to get a number of interested parties together so that everyone in Brentwood, I'm sure, will be familiar with St. Francis, who are hospice, who provide very good end-of-life care, but they haven't so far stepped up to the business of dealing with those people who've had their treatment and are aiming to get back to normal, but are still concerned in the way I mentioned, particular worry. So this is a new step for them, but they're very interested. They had two people, one of their managers and one of their nurse, who's also a lecturer in the subject, came along. We had people from St. Luke's, people from Macmillan, because Macmillan, of course, were a big national charity, and they've done a lot of work similarly. We had people from just around the corner from you here, from the Brentwood Centre, the Fitness in Mind people.
Oh, okay, yes, we know them well. Yeah,
good, yep. Yes.
Yep.
And we had Elaine Hanlon, who's from Health and Wellbeing, from the Brentwood Borough Council, because they're promoting fitness as well now. So we had a good meeting, and we had a few plans. We have had a second meeting where we're developing the plans, and we're now aiming up for a third meeting. What we have decided is that everybody thinks this is a good idea, and most people want to be involved to some degree.
Yes, yeah.
Now, what we've all discussed, my own experience has been as an enthusiastic participant in other self-help groups. I'm very, very conscious of the fact that as a fairly old-fashioned doctor, I'm not one of those people who's very familiar with leading groups and dealing with the sort of issues that may come up in groups, so that you need some training in that. A lot of nurses take that sort of thing very easily,
right,
whereas doctors tend to be rather self-centered people, expect their knowledge to be something that's respected, and for people to say, thank you, doctor, and go away.
Yeah.
And that works to some extent for a lot of things, but when we're dealing with handling uncertainty, that sort of approach doesn't help that much. What you need is to be able to support people who are saying, I don't know what's happening to me. Should I do this? Should I do that? In other words, they want a bit of normal human company, a bit of support. And so you do need someone like that. And we decided that in order for this to work well, we needed to get paid working people who are familiar with that role, preferably nurses, maybe someone who's from a counselling background, but our first choice would be nurses. So we're going to have to pay to have a working nurse, not someone like myself who's been there, who knows what all the problems are, but we want people who are actually working in the day-to-day business of providing help and support, because it's something we have to take seriously.
Oh, absolutely, and I couldn't agree more. I don't want to talk about me, but some years ago, I was diagnosed with a malignant melanoma. Now, that came as a complete surprise and shock to me, and despite the assurances of my consultant that it was a low-risk case, the only thing I knew about melanomas were that they killed people. I felt fearful and alone, and I couldn't find any further support at the time. This just sounds so brilliant to me for someone who has just been diagnosed and needs to come to terms with it. That's kind of what you're trying to do, part of what you're trying to do, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's right. I mean, we've been very, very lucky in the National Conference, and also I remember the National Conferences very well because I've been part of organising it. I was the medical director whilst I was working as a doctor. I'm retired now, and we had some very, very well-known people there, and some people whom you wouldn't expect straight off to be people to admit that they had been people who were prone to worry and self-doubt. So one of the people I remember best was the broadcaster who I used to regard as the female version of Jeremy Paxman. That's Francine Stock, who started off as a well-known broadcaster working on Newsnight, and she was one of those people who could give politicians a very good going over, and so she's clearly a very, very capable, self-confident person. She's now, I think, best known for the Antiques Roadshow and also does a radio programme about films, and she spoke about her experience with breast cancer, and she said, scared? Of course I was scared. Yeah. Who isn't?
Yes.
Who is there who is facing the wrong end of a radiotherapy machine? And these things buzz and whir and certainly can upset you. Or the nurse coming at you with the syringes full of chemotherapy. Who is there who can go through that sort of thing? Ah, well, jolly good, you know, go home and everything's going to be normal. These are worrying experiences.
Absolutely.
And just to hear someone who is, you know, nationally famous, someone who is clearly extremely capable, someone like that saying, of course I was scared, but after confronting my fears, after talking honestly with people, after going through an understandable period of feeling low, you get yourself together again. And the more help you can have at those crucial points, the better. Because we do know from experience that those people who are told, you know, toughen up, it doesn't help.
No,
that does is show to the person that you're not prepared to level with them.
Sure. So have you yet got a vision of how this is actually going to operate? You're talking about employing people.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. How's it going to all work?
Well, one of the most important things to do is to get some funding.
Yep.
So we're going to be talking to all the usual people, all the benefactors and others. And so if we get that going, we haven't decided if we're going to use the good offices of St. Francis, St. Luke's, Macmillan, all three together. All those things are still possible. It's going to be worked on. We have had a very good offer from Masons for us to use one of their rooms from 10 to 12 on a Monday morning.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
Because amongst the possibilities, we're using a pub, which can help. But at the same time, one doesn't want to say this is primarily social and we'll all get together and have a few pints, which I always enjoy.
Yes.
But you've got to remember the most important thing, the whole backbone, is to be able to say we understand people who are feeling down or feeling lost and who need a bit of contact, who need some serious discussion. So we're not going to say, we'll be in the pub, we'll all have a laugh and pretend everything's okay, because you do need to be able to level with people and say, we know what you're going through, it can be hard, this is how I handled it, this is how so-and-so handled these sort of things. You need to be able to have a opportunity for one-to-one discussions. You need people to be able to feel that they're in a completely relaxed area, so a special function room in a pub, not leaning get next to the beer
the
taps,
bar, yes,
is
yeah.
probably, and Mason's of course is more than just a pub, in case you're listening, Antonia. And so that having a separate room which allows people privacy, and the rules always are when you have a group of this sort, that this is a haven, this is somewhere for people to go, a protected yeah. place where you can be yourself and say what you like without any fear of anyone saying, that's a daft thing to say, because we all know what your mind can do to you
yeah.
when you're in a desperate situation, and to be able to get some of these worries off your chest is very good.
Yeah, with people who have had similar experiences or worked in the area, I guess. Yeah,
that's right, yeah. yes.
Yeah, well, as I say, it sounds absolutely fantastic to me. Now, I know you spend a lot of time running and keeping fit.
I've just this moment come back from a run, so I've had a shower, so...
Fantastic. And this might seem unconnected, but I think it is connected. What are the benefits of exercise to good health?
Yes, there are so many that it came from being an area where people... said, oh, you know, it's nice for those people who are able to experts now are saying that fitness is like money, you can't have too much of it.
Right.
Well, if you do have too much of it, you're the exception.
Yeah.
On a very, very, very basic level, we know that mankind has been busy. We know enough about our past. We're all hunter-gatherers, and a man who spent his life's work working out what our ancestors were doing worked out that the business of just staying alive in our origins was the equivalent of a gentle 10k jog every day. That's 6.25 miles.
Right.
So since we've stopped doing that,
yeah.
there has been this explosion of diseases, particularly coronary artery disease, strokes, and now what some people, what doctors refer to as Syndrome X, which is a combination of a number of diseases involving, if not diabetes itself, then a reduction in the way the body handles blood sugar, so that you have high blood sugars, and yet that doesn't get into the cell. That's what insulin does. Diabetics who don't have enough insulin of their own give the insulin. The sugar goes into the cells where it's... does the necessary work of keeping the body alive. And there's this strange syndrome, which still don't understand very well, say called Syndrome X, which is due with diabetes, artery disease, and can involve kidneys, liver, and everything else. And we know that those people who exercise, their blood sugar improves, their metabolism improves. And the recommendations now are that you should do half an hour at least 5 times a day. Enough to make...
5 times a day?
Sorry, thank you so much.
Okay, no problem.
I haven't got calmed down from my run sufficiently. five times a week.
I think that would give me a heart attack, that, but yeah.
You've got to build up to it.
Yeah. No, 5 times a week is fine.
Yeah, yeah. You start gently, build up to it,
yeah.
And the benefits we are still working out, because as the science gets better, we're more able to work out what it does do. But in terms of what it does to the heart, we know very clearly you start exercising, your heart beats faster, then there's a recovery period and your heart is slower than it was before.
Okay.
And similar things happen with the muscles. With the metabolism, as I say, it's still hard to work out exactly what is going on, beyond the fact we know that the glucose is used better within the cells if you use it up through exercise.
Okay. What about the connection between lifestyle and illness?
Yes. Well, there are several big books on this subject.
Okay.
Quite something in itself. So we do know exercise is beneficial. Those people who don't exercise do have higher rates of heart disease, as mentioned. So it's been standard government advice for, I think, a good 20 years now. But there's more and more efforts being put into promoting exercise because it's becoming more and more clear. Then there, of course, is diet. And again, that's an absolutely huge subject. And the difficulty with diet is there are so many what doctors call confounding variables. Yeah. That is to say that if you look at people with a bad diet, and I trained in Glasgow, and Glasgow is famous for a particular form of bad diet. The jokes about deep-fried Mars bars are not that far from the truth, unfortunately.
Oh, right, yeah.
And so that... and also people with diet which might involve the deep-fried, certainly deep-fried pizzas were around when I was in Glasgow, and deep-fried haggis and deep-fried everything. So we know the more you fry, the more of the saturated fatty acids, which are bad for you, which clog up your arteries. We know that's well established. Yeah. But we also know that people who eat a lot of that sort of food are also people who like to smoke. And smoking now is well identified as being a serious cause of a lot of illnesses, not only lung cancer, but many other cancers, because the what we call the carcinogens, the cancer-causing chemicals, get into the body. And come out, particularly they get concentrated in the kidneys, go into the bladder, so bladder cancer is also linked to heavy smoking. And you can actually demonstrate when someone smokes, if you have an instrument on their finger or on their toe that measures the temperature or the oxygen saturation, you can watch that go down as they take a breath. So
right,
that the
yeah.
evidence is well shown. So very simply, as I say, I'm only repeating what other people have said many times, if you stop smoking and take up exercise, those are the two most important things. And then there's sugar.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Of course, the most difficult thing with the kind of lifestyle people have nowadays, where everybody's work seems to be working harder and longer hours, is to find time to do all this, isn't it? It's, you know, get home from work, bung a ready meal in the oven and sit down in front of the TV because you're absolutely exhausted. How do you find time to do this?
Well, first thing to say is that I've been there too.
Right. Yeah.
And so we know about that, and that I have to give... credit to my wife for finding the time to do all the to cook the healthy food all the time.
Yeah.
And she makes an issue of doing it, and so that's the most important thing, I think, is you say to yourself, do you want a healthy lifestyle? If so, you need to reorganize yourself so that easy cooking healthy foods, you're asking the wrong person because I don't do the cooking.
Okay. Yeah.
But there is plenty to be found. The the government's advice can be found online quite easily, and there will be links there to those people who are much more practiced in terms of health link. But, you know, in Essex, Jamie Oliver, you know, he's a good, very, very good example of someone who's addressed all these issues of how can you get a healthy meal and at the same time make it a really good food that's fun to eat. So I would say to anybody...
And food on the quick as well, quite
well,
often.
Well, that's right, that there it is out there.
Yeah.
And that the British Heart Foundation, Diabetes UK, these patient-oriented groups are so familiar with the issues of lifestyle that they will go into that sort of information more detail than I can.
Basically, you've just got to make it a priority in your life and do something about it, haven't you, really?
If you say, this is what we're going to get healthy, because a lot of people do appreciate that the high-pressured modern existence can be something where you ask yourself, don't want to carry on like this all the time.
Yeah.
And so that saying, right, what can we improve? Diet is something which you can easily change, because you have to say to yourself, what am I going to buy? You don't you don't have to buy the ready meals.
Yes, yeah, the processed foods.
All the time.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Well, we're fast running out of time here, Dr. Eric. But before you go, just tell us... back on your project again, the Brentwood Cancer Support and Survivorship Group. It's all very much still sort of in the planning stages. You're moving forward with it, aren't you? Have you got any particular needs that maybe people out there in the community could help with? Or if they're interested in finding out more, how can they contact you?
Our next meeting's the 13th of April, so we hope at that time to have a definite programme.
Okay.
If we don't have a definite programme, it'll be because we haven't got enough money, so we will be setting out. We do have a retired businessman on our committee, so that we'll be, if necessary, doing a business plan. We'll certainly come back to you to say either We're lucky we've got some money and we're starting on a specific date. If we don't have that, then we'll be saying our next plan is to find sponsors prepared to give us enough to have one nurse for one, a nurse or a counsellor, someone, as I say, suitably professionally trained to lead a group. And as soon as we've got that information, we'll let you know. If we haven't got that sorted by our next meeting in roughly a month's time, then we'll give you a progress report and say anyone there who wants to donate to a good cause. The meetings are being run, the planning meetings, through Brentwood CCG, sorry, it's not Brentwood CCG, Brentwood and Basildon CCG, okay, or the Health and Wellbeing Office of Brentwood Council. The officer is called Elaine Hanlon. Those are the people who will be able to act. They will know where the money is going to go. And if anybody wants to donate, then I would suggest those are the two best courses. And also, of course, St Francis and Macmillan. If someone wants to donate for the Brentwood group, then St Francis are our partners, are very involved, and they may be taking the lead. We've yet to decide that.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming and giving us the update. We'll see you again probably in a couple of months' time or a month's time, and hopefully by then you'll have something in motion there. Yeah,
that's the idea. Yes,
brilliant. Well, Dr. Eric Watts, thanks very much for talking to us today, and we'll see you again very soon.
Thank you, Bob.
Cheers.